Well, almost nothing to do today, so it's going to be a terrible one. I can't turn you away from it any more than that, so here we go. Enjoy. Welcome. We're back again. I don't know if my voice still sounds sick or if my cough still sounds like a cough, but I'm definitely still sick. But we're back. So this kind of left me with a dilemma, because when I got sick, I have the immune system of the worst immune person that's ever lived. Actually, the worst immune person who's ever not lived, because that's the kind of situation I'm in, honestly. It's hard-pressed to find. I would happily draw my blood when I'm sick and inject it into you, and we'll see who takes longer to cure through the body, because I promise you it's going to be me. In the race for the cure, the Susan G. Komen race for me to have the cure of the cold, I am always the last finisher. I am the walker who comes across with a sweatshirt tied around my waist because I got so warm from walking, wanting to know what time I ran in. And I've got a bill. What do you call that hat where there's no top of the hat over the top of your head? Just the, like a fucking casino guy wears, that's green and clear. What is with, there's always that color of green comes up in two places. Those bill hats that a casino guy or like some guy who does something with horse racing always has that hat. And then also a lamp on a desk of like a private eye is always that crazy green and gold lamp. What is that lamp for? What is that bill for that's green? Why is it green? Is there a reason that it's green? Are they seeing something that I'm not? And how come you never see a guy with the goddamn green bill with a green lamp? That would make sense. I'd be like, well, this guy likes green, I guess. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Say, oh, he's a money guy. Is he green? Green is of money. That this makes sense. Everything about this jives with what I know to be true about money. Sorry, I'm obsessively adjusting a thing over here for no reason that's of benefit to you. So the dilemma I have in not getting over this sickness and becoming a perpetually sick idiot who is fevered and feverish and on death's door, knocking on heaven's door with both hands, like I'm not knocking on heaven's door. I'm goddamn Lloyd Dobler outside with a boombox on heaven's door. Saying just, I don't remember what song was on there. Oh, In Your Eyes. That never worked for me. That song must not have been, I saw that movie way too late is the problem. What song should have been playing? What song would have been the perfect to lure out the woman of my dreams? Boom, 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 boom. I become very self-conscious of when I make myself laugh, because I've got good, sick, wheezy laugh. Oh, God. The pain. I'm drinking my first alcohol since being sick, unless you count NyQuil. NyQuil, which is the provider of sort of sleep. It's the kind of sleep where all night you think you're not sleeping, and then you wake up and realize, I guess I was asleep at some point. I must have been asleep when XYZ happened because that didn't really happen. And the night during the night seems very long. Post-night doesn't seem so long, right? I mean, NyQuil might be my drug. I live in Colorado, where weed is now legal, and you know, you read these things like, oh my god, it's a number one spring break destination now because people can get high legally, which I don't understand. I mean, maybe this has always been a weed state, because I never thought it was difficult to come across weed. Do some of you live in fucking Indiana and you just can't get it? How does that work? Is it hard? I need to talk to someone from somewhere else and say, all right, you're from Iowa. I would think they'd have a million of weed out there. A million buds. Sweet token buds. So we made this cocktail. My dear online friend Rob recommended, let's see, whiskey, hot water, honey, cinnamon, and lemon. I don't know if it's doing anything for me, but it's not hurting. It's given me the courage to do a radio show, so that's something. I don't know if I had the courage to do it before or if I'll have it again. But I guess I could continue. This is a nice winter cocktail. If you feel a sickness coming on, go ahead and mix this. See what happens. It's sure as hell is better than anything else. And besides, you're not going anywhere. This is the problem. And this gets right back to the problem I'm having with this show. When you find that you've given yourself over to a disease, as I did, you don't really get out of the house. I left my apartment two times this weekend for the whole weekend. That's, you know, Friday all day, Saturday a brief sojourn, and Sunday a brief journ. So I went somewhere. And, you know, on Sunday, it was ill-advised. It was that kind where you've watched almost, by the way, didn't know that The Office television series had come to an end. That was a blow to my soul. I don't know why. Okay, well, I could tell the whole story of The Office here. So, I had this ex-girlfriend, we watched The Office together, right? We would always watch the seasons when they came out. That was like the thing. We would take the day off work or whatever. She was away, and I took it up there. I bought a DVD player that I must have just returned immediately, and we watched it in the hotel. And we bought that, you know. That was like our thing. The Office was our thing. So I know it's stupid because that was probably everyone's thing, right? The Office. And we watched it together up till when Steve Carell left The Office. And then we didn't watch the rest of that season. I think there's two more episodes in that season, which I guess I still haven't seen because I never watched them. And then a few seasons, two or three seasons after that. And I just never watched it. I don't know why. I like the show. I think it's funny. Jesus. I promise I'm trying not to cough into the microphone. But the way we have things adjusted today, I don't know if it matters. So I hadn't watched The Office or really followed The Office. I've kind of purposely avoided it because, you know, I don't know how it ends. So I'm watching it when I'm sick. I decide, you know what? Fuck it. I need a comfort show here. I would like to reclaim The Office as my show. Some things you never reclaim. Some songs, some albums, some certain driving routes home or something, you'll just never get, you might as well abandon them. Certain foods that you made. But I think I can reclaim The Office precisely because, I mean, The Office belongs to everybody, right? Not any one person or couple. So I say, yeah, I'm doing it. So I'm watching it and things progress or whatever, and I'm thinking, man, this really seems like it's kind of coming to a head. And then I skip ahead a couple episodes. So at this point, I've watched, you know, 3.5 years of The Office in half a weekend because I skip ahead and then say, okay, in the series finale, and then I have to think in my fever-addled brain, series, season finale. So series, that's the end. That's the last one. So I discovered that I've got one episode left of The Office ever. And then it's over. And that's most of what happened to me this weekend. So there you go. That's the Office, and this is why I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about. Because what do? I just continue to describe my level of illness. Night sweats, we talked about. I did have a new side effect. I've had this once before where my eyelashes crusted shut with goo that turns into a crust in the night. So I had one of those. That's a good one. That one's fun. You wake up blinded. My body really has turned against me in a severe fashion. It's trying to cripple and disable me and then blind me so that I cannot escape my bed and seek help. Like, all right, we'll take away his ability to sleep. He won't sleep because he'll be coughing. Body aches, weakness. His breath will be labored. Nose filled with fluids. Head ready to explode. My eyeballs on Friday start kind of burning. And they, you know, I feel like pressure and they look real baggy, like I have an allergy or something. And my right eye just keeps crying all day. You may think, oh, well, you were watching that Office that you were so tender about. No, my friend. It was not that. I mean, maybe. Maybe I should have been crying from both eyes, and only one was able. Only one still had cry powers left. The other one was just like, fuck it, we're sick, we're not doing that shit today. Listen, you cry way too much. Let's take some time off from the crying. Okay, that's to help you emotionally. We're really focused on the physical at the moment. You can understand. You're the best, Rob. This is great. So yeah, eyes wide shut and crusted. Eyes crusted wide shut would be the movie title of my weekend. I went out on Sunday a little bit, try and do some work, some writing stuff. And I'm in the car driving for 10 minutes maybe when I start sweating. You know when you're in the car and you get that stuffy feeling and you're just kind of, your forehead turns into a sheen, an ice rink of, well, not an ice rink, a water slide. And you're just thinking, my God. And then I had to wonder when I was at the Starbucks, my eyes are bloodshot and puffed. Probably little flakes of crust around them. My voice sounds like shit. Everything about me looks diseased. I wondered if they just thought I was crying, though, because I did kind of look like I was crying. I did briefly say, I wonder if they'll just give me some free shit. That would be amazing. They didn't, but they were nice. They didn't treat me like I was a patient zero, which they really should have. So I got a little work done, but I could tell immediately that I should not have left my apartment. But what could I do? I didn't want to finish The Office. I was going to stretch that out through sometime this week, right? Give myself a little... I didn't watch it for goddamn 3 years and then watch the entire caught up in a day. That makes no sense. I have the worst planning facilities in my brain. Anyway, that's the entirety of my weekend. So where do you go from there? Oh, well, there was one other part of the weekend, but I don't think we're going to talk about that just yet. But remind me, there was a romantic gesture over the weekend. This was exciting. It was big for me. The three of you who care about that, get excited. So I thought, what am I going to do on this show? And what I decided to do was just do some tough questions, you know, some would you rather type questions, some questions that might be difficult, you know, parlor game, party game type questions just to sort of get me rolling, okay? To make me feel a little bit more used to doing a radio show again. And because I want to get on the regular with these more than once a week before we make our big announcement about Snowball 2013, which we've pretty much got figured out and is going to be pretty great. Should provide some good content and a chance for you all to interact with the biggest celebrity you know and then tell me about it. So I thought we'd just go through some of these questions and I could answer them in my own style. So let's see, here was what we got. If you could add one feature to your car, what would you choose? Well, that's an exciting one right off the bat. I'm not really like a car guy. Is anyone who listens, I can't imagine anyone who enjoys this is like real into cars. Oh yeah. Yeah, this one's got a Hemi. Hemispherical engine headers, baby. That's what I'm all about. I don't really care about cars very much. It just seems sort of silly. I don't know. I'm the kind of person who, I feel like there's two kinds of people, right? Like, you could have a person where it's like, all right, you could drive an amazing car. It would be so cool. Everyone would love your car. But every 8 months, you'd have to throw in $500 to fix this or that, right? Or, but other than that, everything's cool. Or you could have just basically a Honda Accord for the rest of your life that you'd just never have to do anything to. What would you pick? I would take the Honda Accord in a heartbeat. All that really matters to me is that I feel like I can get in my car and get to where I'm going without having to suffer or worry that I'm not going to make it. In my old car, I'll tell you something, driving your teens and your early 20s in a car, spending 5 years in a car that every time you get in it, you think this may be the last trip of this car, that changes a person. It scars you in a way that's almost impossible to undo. It's kind of like having an unreliable parent, probably, where it's hard to trust again. It's hard to trust a car. To me, it's crazy when people would say, oh yeah, I drove to the Black Hills last weekend. Holy Christ, are you kidding me? Your car ran all the way there and back and is still running today. Unbelievable. It's very humbling, but I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing to grow up that way. Probably not. If I could trade it, I probably would. So if I could add one thing to my car, it would be negative 10 years of driving it, probably. Is that adding something? It's really, really a weird one. If you were a hunting fanatic, what animal would you hang from your wall? That's a good question. I picture something, I'd have to have a fireplace, right? I mean, this is probably why I've never gotten into hunting, because I don't have a fireplace to put the head out. Where would I put a fucking, if I had a moose head over my bed? Then I'd feel like, and then it would come crashing down and kill me, and PETA people would get all excited. They'd be like, see, asshole, that's what you get for screwing around with animal heads. And I couldn't really say I blame them, because it is pretty ironic and hilarious. Moose head is out. I don't know, a bird? Can you hunt a bird and then display it? Does that work? I mean, I guess a bird is like attractive, but wouldn't it be all ripped up and shit? I don't know. All the animals I like looking at, I don't think I would want to kill. Like, what do I want to kill is a good question. Mostly those creepy fish that live deep in the ocean that have weird parts, like a Christmas light hanging off his goddamn face. I want to kill, though. I would like to extinct those. I would be happier in a world where those don't exist. Or scorpions or something. But see, then I don't want that in my house to horrify me day in and day out. This could be another good plan of child raising, right? Dad's got his trophy of the scary-ass eel that he killed, that he shot. He has a trick to make them jump out of the water, and he shoots them in the air. So what happens is like, well, I got a call from the school today, son. Turns out that you were disruptive in class. You know what that means, right? And then I get the eel out, and it just has to sit in the living room or on the kitchen table for the next week. You're like, man, if you don't want to see the eel again, behave. And also, it would help because I would probably peer pressure the kid. He'd be like, I fucking hate this eel. Could you please goddamn behave at school so we don't have to have the eel? I hate it. This ruins my whole... It's not a healthy way to start a day. Eating cereal with a fucking eel in front of me. Bad enough that you're living with your father. God knows where your mom is. We're eating cereals for breakfast. I've never made you a hot breakfast in your entire life. One time we went out for breakfast, you were blown away. You didn't even know. Waitress was like, how do you want your eggs? And you just stared blankly because you'd never even known there was eggs or a way to have them different. So I'm always looking for ways to discipline kids because I feel like people do three things. They hit them, they lecture them, or they do that. I hate this one. One, two. How is that effective? Isn't that just saying, okay, well, it's all right if you fuck around for a limited time? I would start saying, I'm going to count to 45. Because maybe I'm enjoying what the kid's doing, but I need to make it appear that I want them to stop. One, two, three, and he's unraveling all the toilet paper in a bathroom somewhere. I mean, maybe he'll just be done, and then I'm like, well, you finished it in the time limit. It's not really about your behavior, it's just I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I'm bored. Let's see. Oh, God. My head is killing me. If you were city commissioner, what would you do to make your city better? I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. Because I have a big plan for town. Controversial, yes. But I think controversy will bring attention and tourism. Here we go. The first part, I think, is good. We have a main avenue of sorts here. I say we make it a park block, pedestrian zone, no cars up and down it, cars across, but not up and down. Be great. You could ride your bike there. You could jog there. There's like a green belt in the center. Houses along there. Beautiful. Now we changed the green belt a little bit, and all neighborhoods, I think, should be this. This is the fucked up thing about the suburbs that I don't like. Doesn't everyone want to have a bar two blocks away? And a nice restaurant and shit. They need to stop saying, like, everything's got to be super separate. Yes, I don't want to live next to a grease monkey, particularly. But that shit can be in a strip mall. Restaurants, bars, that shit can be just in a neighborhood. It can be on the corner in a neighborhood. That's great. So all along the Greenbelt, you have some houses, you have some restaurants, ice cream man. Gelados. Then it takes us to downtown. The Greenbelt connects the university to downtown. They're always trying to revitalize this downtown here, but they keep fucking up. Now here's my plan. We open up several businesses that are extremely controversial, but do good things. For example, Hitler Cafe. This is a beautiful coffee bar. Decked out in red and black and chrome and tan. And the logo is a Hitler. It's the parted hair, smile, mustache, but his little mustache is latte foam instead of a mustache. Now, everything that's served there is impeccable. Delicious, fresh baked. The lattes are unbelievably delicious. And a portion of the profits go to some Holocaust survivor thing, right? And it's the final solution for coffee is the slogan. So that's one of the things. My mom helped me come up with an idea for a laundromat. Something about whiteies. It's like Whitey's Laundromat, White Power is their slogan. Also, Battered and Fried. Now, this one's controversial, right? It's a fish and chip store. Beautiful, delicious fish and chips. And they hire ladies from the women's shelter. Now, I know that sounds horrible, but think about it this way. You're a woman, you've gotten removed from your home, or you've removed yourself from your home. You're in this shelter. You may not have a job, you may not have anywhere to go. Well, you've got somewhere where we're going to hire you and train you to do something. And, you know, we're not going to give you a hard time about background check and, oh, how come this address doesn't check out? It's all good. This is a community benefit. So it's insane. And that's the attraction. Everything downtown is insane and shouldn't exist and creates problems. And therefore, we have success. Now, here's what's great about this for me as the mayor. I either go down in history, well, I'll go down in history as our greatest mayor and also our worst. Guaranteed. But I will not be forgotten. Who was the mayor of this town 10 years ago? Who the fuck knows? Who's the mayor now? Who knows? Who was the mayor who made the Hitler coffee store? That was Pete. Oh, Jesus. Excuse me. I'm extremely ill. I'm dying. This may be a... I wonder sometimes when I get really sick if this is like a karma thing, you know, for my bad things that I think of and say. Ugh. What would motivate or already motivates you to run a marathon? Well, I've run one marathon in my life. And I don't consider that to be a lifestyle. It seems that some people get involved in these marathons and then they just can't stop. Oh my God, I'm going to run. I really think that marathoning is a lot like a lot of other adult men hobbies. Fishing. Golfing. Auto shit. These time-consuming hobbies that you can just sort of disappear for 6 hours on a Sunday. You're running a marathon, it's hard for anyone to say, well, Jesus. Okay, but who's going to help me take care of these children? You're like, well, I got to get in a fucking 4-hour run today. I can get up at 5 a.m. And who's going to argue with you going to bed at 9 p.m., getting up at 5 to go run? And then you just say, oh, it makes me in a good mood. This did not happen for me, though. I need to find, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm an old man to escape. I mean, maybe I'll just be alone, so it'll be perfect. Maybe I'll be alone, it'll be perfect. Because then I'll never have to worry about it. But seriously, if I have kids and a wife and grandkids and shit, I need to come up with a hobby, like carving wood, whittling wood, something. Need to have a wood shop. Probably I would just buy all the wood shop shit and see what happens. Maybe I never even use it. Just record the machines being on audio, then hide in the wood shop and play the audio of all the wood shop shit turning. So it sounds like something's going on. But marathon running, I think, might be in that same category because, Jesus Christ, this is a time commitment. So when I did mine, I was running a lot of distance, so I thought I could do it. But I just, you know, you have to train. And the training plan I did was, I think, overkill. Because I think you end up doing 5 or 6 20-mile runs and maybe 2, maybe 3 22-mile runs. Now, in this town where I live, that meant leaving from my house, running to one far end of town, then making a huge loop out to the other end of town, then coming back towards my house, then taking a couple laps around this park, and then going home. One thing I can tell you about marathon running, here's a little tip for you. You don't want to pass your house more than once if you can help it, or at all. Because you just want to say, oh, fuck this. Now, this was also back in the day before iPod was really a thing. I had an MP3 player, but the battery did not last long enough. You had one AAA battery that lasted about 8 minutes. battery did not last long enough to really facilitate a run. So I'd listen to the 8 songs on there, and you, God forbid you skip a song. That just drains the battery immediately. So I'm going, doing these long-ass runs. I never drank water either, which was a huge mistake. Because I think you're supposed to get used to drinking water when you do this. I got a horrible cramp during the marathon. Walked for probably 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know, it seemed like 4 or 5. It was probably like 2 minutes. Who knows? But because I was not used to drinking water whatsoever. So you'd be out running for 3.5 hours, not touching a drop of water. I was not smart. And this was in the summer. Or, you know, the spring. It was very warm. It was a terrible time. And then you'd run. Okay, I'd run these training runs, right? I'd run 22 miles. There may have been one 24 miler. Because I remember thinking, as I was finishing one time, that I was thinking, 2 more times around the park, and I've run the marathon, I could just skip the whole thing. Who fucking cares? And that's the problem with me. I just saw it as, well, I don't really care that anyone else acknowledges this marathon business. I know that I did it. I'm fine with that. But I didn't do it because I thought, no, I want to be sure. I have to know. So I went and ran the marathon. And here was the problem. So by the time I did all these long-ass training runs and shit, by the time I get there, I don't care anymore. They were waiting to shoot off the starting gun, and I was like, can we fucking get this over with? I'm ready to be done thinking about marathon for the rest of my life. I was not hooked on the marathon, to put it a short way. It's not my sport, or it wasn't at that time, I guess. I don't know. I think it's an older man's game. Because when you're a young man, it's kind of fun to run fast. But you can't really run fast that much when you're running for a marathon. So I ran it. Felt really tired. Drank 2 margaritas after and was completely annihilated. Fell down some stairs. And that's most of what I remember about it. And being supremely tired that night and the next day. That I do remember is sleeping like a goddamn baby. Which, by the way, sleeping like a baby is what I did the other night because I slept for about 5 hours and woke up crying and strangely ill. That seems to me to be how babies relate to sleep. I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, parents who know how to discipline kids. So what motivated me to do? I have no fucking, I think it was just, I liked running, but I didn't know yet what I liked about running. And what I like about running is just kind of going out and doing your own thing. So I don't know if there's a running structure that is good for me. I don't know if there's a club or a group that I belong to. It's more for me, you just go outside and you're not accountable to anything. It's like being a child again. That's stupid as hell. But I've never done it since. If I had, I guess if there was a reason to, I don't know, some cancer kid needed someone to, I guess I would do it. But I don't know if I've run a race since then. That was a long time ago. Let me find another good question here. If your butt could talk, what would it say? What the hell kind of question is that? I don't know. I'm glad my butt can't talk. I would hate that. That'd be like having a fucking Siamese twin. Or is this I can make my butt talk? That would be the worst thing if I could make my butt talk, because I'd say, all right, there's got to be some way to market this skill, make a couple bucks. But then I got to talk with my butt on TV or something. I'm butt talk guy now. You don't live that down. And I wouldn't be trying to, I guess. I mean, what do I care? I'm trying to make money off it, but fuck. That's it. That's your legacy, butt talk guy. Talking out of the butt. Oh, he was the only mayor who could talk out of his butt. Literally. If you could only work on one body part at the gym, what would it be? Is the core a body part? Because that seems like your entire upper body, excluding your arms. Maybe including your shoulders, though. I love that. People say the core. Strengthens your core. Oh, you mean body? Okay. Where's the core exactly? From bottom of the butt to top of the shoulder? That's most of your body. This exercise strengthens your core. It should just say this exercise strengthens. Period. I mean, I don't think I would work anything if I could only work one thing. What the hell's the point? Why would... What... I think it's crazy when you go there. You'll see these guys there. This is the guy version. Big, huge pot belly and then big arms, right? And you're thinking, man, you should trade like one set of curls for 10 minutes on the treadmill. Even it out. We're not fooled. We all see what's going on here. It's not like anyone says, I didn't even look past his giant arms to realize that he was that way. Or trying to think what the lady version is of that. I don't know. I don't know if there's a lady version of that where just like one part of you is big fat and the rest is not. I can't decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing, if that would be better or worse. Problem areas. Guys have problem parts. One part is just out of control. I mean, a guy I've seen a lot of, you know, maybe face. And this happens to guys too. You can have a fat face, skinny body. I don't know what you do about fat face. I don't think fat face can be worked away. So I guess face is my answer. I would work out my face so I could avoid fat face and just wear turtlenecks and be fine. Oh, God. If you could change one thing about airlines to make your flights more enjoyable, what would it be? I have the same plan for everything now. Sickness, flight, travel, just boring days. I wish I could just be injected with something and wake up 12 hours later. I know we have the ability to... When I had my wisdom teeth out, they injected me with some shit. I fell asleep. I woke up and it was like nothing had ever happened. Why can't they do that for 2.5 hours while you're on the plane? That would be great. In fact, I would be fine with them doing that. You get dropped off at the airport, they take your bag, and you just get in some airline-provided pajamas. You don't have anything on you, because what do you need? They look through your wallet, give it back to you, and then you just get in a wheelchair, and they fucking drug you up, roll your wheelchair onto the plane, strap everybody in, drive the plane wherever the hell they're going. You get there, they revive you, you wake up in some kind of capsule, like it's the fucking future, and then you're there. What's to know? Long drive. When I go rafting this summer, drive like 7 hours or something. Shit. If I could do that, I would. I wouldn't say anything, and I'd be in the car, and 10 minutes in, I'd be nodding off, be like, guys, I gotta be honest. I took the knockout sleep drug, so goodbye. I'll probably wake up tomorrow morning. You got a long night of sickness? Why not have just passed myself out for the entire weekend? Just drug myself, give a spare key to a friend and say, hey, if you don't see me on Monday, call some hospitals. But other than that, wouldn't it just be perfect if I was like hooked up to an IV of food or whatever juice they put in there that works as food? I pass out, wake up on Monday, no worse for the wear. Probably much better. What is one thing you did that made you popular? My God. Well, I don't know if I did anything that was popular. And popularity is very strange. It's got to be one of the things that you want more than anything at some point in your life. And then do not give a fuck about later. Maybe that's what I like about old men. I feel like we talk about how they're cool because they don't care about being cool or not cool. Or we use the word cool, but maybe popular is the right word. They make their decisions. I don't know if you'll ever get away from thinking whether or not something is cool, but popular, you might be able to banish that right from your mind. Because when you're an old fucking man, it's like, popular to who? Everyone I knew who I thought of as popular, or who I've ever categorized as popular or unpopular, is dead. I'm nearly dead. I don't think I'm going to be popular in the afterlife. I just have a feeling. I'm too negative. So other than that, once you're dead, who cares? Then it's over, right? The popularity thing is over a little before you're dead. I mean, I guess I haven't ever really thought about whether or not someone I know is popular in quite some time. Maybe it's a school thing. Once you're not in classes anymore, it's just you have no gauge. Or sometimes I would think, well, I don't know, this person seems pretty cool, and then I'd find out this person is not cool. Objectively, not cool. Okay. If the president asked you personally to solve a national emergency, what might he or she call on you to solve? Oh my God. What would be likely to the president's like, get me Peter Dirk right now. I need him to solve this problem. Probably to test a vaccine. It's like, well, if it works on him, it'll work for anybody. I mean, if they thought they'd cured cancer, let's say, God forbid they had to do it this way, but they say, we've got the cure. We need to test it on a human subject of extremely low quality health and personality-wise. Someone who will not be missed, and who is very likely to die. We need to bring someone to the brink in like 3 days. The president would be like, I know just the guy. I saw this guy at a Starbucks. My God, I thought he was going to pass before he even got a brownie. I didn't think he would even get a brownie. How long would a regular size roll of toilet paper last you? I have no idea. It seems like a week or 2 weeks or a day. I buy the giganticest collection of toilet papers when I go to the store. I don't know. Why is it? Is it embarrassing to buy toilet paper for everyone? I feel like when I buy the million roll pack, the one that's bigger than my body that I have to bear hug to get out the door, I feel like when someone sees that, they're thinking, Jesus, Lord Shittington over here. Lord Shits-a-Lot, Sir Crappin' Dailies. And it seems like that. I feel that way. I'm sure they're not thinking that because I don't think anyone really cares how often I'm shitting. But at the same time, you can't help it because it seems like an asinine amount of toilet paper. And it lasts me months. The downside of this, when you buy the huge, large, gigantic amount of toilet paper, is that then when you run out, it's like a catastrophe. And it's hard to, it's not part of your routine. When I go to the store, I will think about things from time to time, like, do I have butter? I don't know. And I'll get some more. Maybe I do have some and maybe I don't. Or do I have milk? I don't use a lot of milk, but if I need some, I'd hate to run out. But when you run out of toilet paper, it is essential and very forgettable because you're buying it every 6 months. It's like paying my car insurance. I don't remember that because it's not in my regular routine. So I have no idea how long an average toilet. I guess I should keep track. I should say, like, label it inside the roll. March 17th, and then see what date it ends, and then I'll know. But who knows? Maybe I'm shitting more or less than normal during that period. It's hard, you know, these things ebb and flow. I'm a human being, goddammit. If you were an evil dictator, where would you rule? So I don't know if my brother and sister were screwing around with me, but I had breakfast with them today. They were saying that in Estonia, the dating scene is very flip-flopped, and the Estonian women are aggressive and the starters of the things, and the men are more meek and overrun, basically. I was thinking it would be great to go there and be king or fit in. At first, I was like, I could go over there and be king. And they were saying, like, oh, yeah, you'd be really banging a lot of poontang or whatever. I don't know how they say it. They said it smarter than me. Some kind of innuendo-y way. Sexing a lot. And I said, I actually just meant actual king. Because they would just not be used to a man who was aggressive. And just give in to me immediately. I guess this was my plan. It was not a well thought out plan. I know this may come as a surprise to you. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know if I'd like that, though. I also said I'd be king and then revised and said, like, or probably be average. Because I'm probably below average on the Casanova-ing in the States. So maybe in Estonia, I would be normal. Except I'd be foreign, and that's weird. So that never helps, right? But I guess I could be the king of Estonia. That would be fine. They said that they do a lot of shit on the internet there. So that's something. I wouldn't mind being the king of Estonia where that happens. I don't know. Does Estonia get involved in shit? Because that's the other thing. I don't want to be in one of these, you know, Ukraine. It's like, oh, I got to deal with these things. I'm not interested in that. I'm not looking to grab power. I'd like to be in Switzerland. And they're just like, by this point, they just say, all right, let's divide up who we're going to fight with in the war. And they get all the countries and they're like, what about Switzerland? And everyone's like, yeah, right. Those guys don't do shit, man. They hate wars. Everyone high fives and goes home. Now that they've got a sweet burn on Switzerland, the Swiss. That's the kind of country I think that I belong ruling. Where I can just say, nah, man, we're good. We are just gonna screw around with our cool flag. Red and white with the cross on it. I think we may have won the flag contest. Japan's pretty close, too, as far as whatever. But it's hard to draw a circle. I'll say that. Something about it, too. It looks like an evil red eye or something. Swiss flag. It looks like you're going to the hospital. It's nice. We'll take care of you. We're Switzerland. Enjoy our many faceted knives and our myths. Our Alps. They got a lot of good shit. Seems snowy. I like the snow. I think I'd look good. I like a king or a president or a dictator who's in winter gear. I think that's a good look for a ruler. Okay. I think we did it, right? That's probably everything that we all need to know about everything. For Christ's sake. Thanks for listening again. I don't know. I hope this went okay. Hopefully I'll have left my home by the next time we visit again, and there will be some content to this show. But hey, in the meantime, whatever, you learned some stuff about me. Or probably heard some stuff I've said 100 times but can't remember because I'm drinking cold concoctions and slowly destroying my liver quickly. Have a great till I see you next amount of time. God. Bye.